Blue Apron Take Back Dinner.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to the Liars Club. I'm Felicia Michaels.
And I'm Jessica Wellington.
And what we do here at the Liars Club is we have two of our comedy pals come on. We ask them to tell two stories. One is the truth, one is a lie. And then we try to figure out with a gang of friends that play along with us, which stories are the lies. Am I right, Jessica?
Yes, ma'am. Yep.
Please introduce our guests.
I would love to. This first gentleman, I'm so excited he's here. And back again. Thank you so much. He has a hilarious Instagram. If you don't follow him, please do. He's a very funny comedian. This is DC Irvin.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Glad to be back.
All right. Our second guest.
Everybody knows him. He is one of my favorites. I always say I always had a huge crush on him as a teenager. It has since passed. Don't worry. He's been in many, many movies, including Scream. He turned 50 during this pandemic in the quarantine, and he has a new special that just dropped called Stupid Smart, and I love the name of it. This is Jamie Kennedy.
Woo. Hey, you had to say that it was past? I mean, geez, I can't. Can I live?
You know I love you, just not that way.
Okay, got it. All right.
I don't have any bones anymore.
Okay, all right.
I'm still love crushing, it. Dog. Don't worry.
Forget her. Over here.
Yeah, live and well.
Felicia, I love that motif of that green bathroom. It's very, what was the Shining? Remember the Shining bathroom? It's very much that.
I think it is the Shining bathroom.
I would like to say that Michael Evans, our on-air producer, is playing along, and he will be writing down the stories, and at the end, when everyone tells their stories, he's going to do a quick recap, and we're all going to vote together. Welcome, Michael. How goes it?
It goes so well. Thanks for having me again and again and again.
Jamie, would you like to start with one of your stories?
Oh, I was hoping DC could.
I got you, Jamie.
Thank you, DC.
I got you, bro. All right, let me see what I got here.
Wow, they switched it up.
All right, is that okay?
Yeah.
It's a power move. I've just never seen it done before. It's an interesting strategy.
Okay. Let's see. Okay, I'll never forget. I was about probably, I'm going to say 19 years old. And my father and I, we would take trips to, he's married to a Filipino woman. So we would take trips to the Philippines before he married this woman. And it was kind of like his bachelor's party type deal. So we would go out there. And the first thing I noticed about the Philippines was like, this is an amazing, beautiful country as far as like just how it looked. It was super green. The people were really nice, but also very, very poor. Super, super poor. And I hate to say it like this, but me and my dad, we would be there, you know, not chasing prostitutes, but chasing prostitutes. Does that make sense? So looking for prostitutes, whatever. Long story short, I hook up with quote unquote a prostitute, and we were in the hotel room or whatever, and before anything could happen, before some sex could happen, I started talking to her and asking her about like her life and stuff like this. And I was just like, so why are you doing this? And she was just like, I'm so poor. I don't have any other choices. This is the only thing I have. And the humanity in me kicked in. And I was just like, I don't know if I can do this. I don't know if I can sleep with this woman, just the guilt of what her country is going through and this and that. She kind of coaxed me into doing it, like saying it was okay, and we had sex maybe like two pumps, so I can't count that as like full sex because I didn't climax or anything like that. So two pumps, and after like the second pump, I was like, you know what, I cannot do this. I feel terribly bad, and I paid her money and she left. And to this day, I feel bad for even getting inside of her for those two pumps.
And says, yeah, look at this, Captain Save-A-Ho. Yeah, the old empathy fuck story.
An You know what you reminded me? Have you recently watched that documentary about the Microsoft guy? Wasn't that in the Philippines?
I don't know. I think so. No, I'm not familiar.
No, that's McAfee Software, Jessica.
Oh, that guy's wild, yeah.
Yeah, he's got some stories.
Did he feel bad too?
No, he didn't feel bad at all.
Oh, okay.
He still doesn't feel very bad, I don't think.
He went in for more than two pumps.
He went in for a few dumps, if you know what I mean.
Oh, okay. Something else.
Yeah, I have a heart, you know? I have a big heart.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay, DC.
Okay. Sorry, though, because it's really out there. I mean, I thought it was going to be all warm. And then my dad and me, we went to go meet his bride. And then we got prostitutes. I was like, what? All right. Does anybody have any questions? Anybody?
You said you were 19?
Yeah, I was 19 years old. And then you know what I noticed the best about the Philippines? The best thing they had was fruit. I was more enamored with the fruit than the prostitutes.
Wow.
The sweetest mango you'd ever have in your life.
What was this woman's name?
They called her Cherry.
Damn, so it's all fruit down there.
Yeah, they called her Cherry. And when I got back to the States, I kept in contact for a little bit with her. I kept in contact with a little bit with her. We wrote each other and everything. And she started kind of asking for money and stuff. And now I was like, she didn't seem like a money whore when I was there, you know?
Yeah. Well, she kind of did. She told you how poor she was, and that's why she was doing it.
I know, Jess, but you know, you don't see those signs when you're laying in the bed. You know? Like,
all right. Did you pay her for the two pumps?
Two pumps, yeah.
Did you pay her for the two pumps?
Oh, yeah, I had to pay her. I paid her, and we hung out after.
How much did you pay her?
It was in what do you call that? Manila money? Not peso, but... Jamie, come on, man.
Manila money.
I gave her, though. It was like 20 bucks in American money. Oh, she made about 500 in their money.
All lies. And then Jason said, Dad, what are we going to do tonight? Well, son. Yeah,
whose idea was it? Was it yours or your dad's?
I think my dad kind of wanted to, like, sow his royal oaks through his son. He was kind of like, you know, me and my son, we've never did anything like this. And, you know, and it was awkward as hell. Like, I did not like chasing women with my dad. It was just weird. It was very weird.
Is getting prostitutes technically chasing women with your dad?
if they run, it is.
Right. I mean, I don't know what he thought he was doing. I think he thought it was a good idea. Like, I'm a man now, you know? And I was like, Dad, it's not my thing to get a prostitute, but I also didn't want to seem like I was scared, you know?
How did he bring it up?
When we were there. Him and his buddies were like, hey, like, they've been there quite a few times. And when they were there, they were just like, hey, like, you seen that movie, The Lost Boys?
When they were all movie in the fucking world.
Yeah, exactly. When they were all like, when they introduced Michael to the other vampires, it was like that. Like, I was a new vampire. Like, they'd already been there doing this shit. And I was like, here's your blood, son. It felt like that.
Wow, you ate the maggots and drank the blood.
Yeah, exactly, Jess. It was exactly like that.
All right. Well, let's move on to Jamie's story now.
Jesus, when you said chasing prostitutes, women. Okay. I had a couple stories, but DC just inspired me, so I adjusted one. As you guys know, I've been in some movies. My last movie was called Tremor 6. Around 2003, that was supposed to be a joke. No one laughed. So
by the way, I love all the Tremors movies.
Yeah, baby. let's have some keto cupcakes. I don't know why I said that. So
keto.
So, around 2003, I had a movie called Malibu's Most Wanted.
Yep.
And thank you very much. And at that time, you go and you promote your movies a lot, you know, as you do. And there's something called Show West. And Show West is kind of like Montreal, but for movies, meaning it's everybody in the business goes twice a year, Show West, Show East, and it's in Vegas. And you go and all the movie theaters present their movies. And I was at Show West and I was promoting Malibu's Most Wanted. And like DC, along those lines, but a little different, I went to a place where women, they dance around a pole. You've heard of those places, right?
What's the name of that again, Felicia? What's it, those places?
It's called pole class. So right now they have drive-by ones, you know, watch the COVID. So I go to one, maybe DC's heard of it. It was called, I believe, Sapphires. It's a beautiful, I don't know, maybe DC.
Beautiful place, Jamie.
Beautiful place. It's like a football field. It's beautifully done, well put together, air conditioned, wonderful meals. The hours are great. They never close. All different types of rooms. And at the time, I had a little bit of, you know, people knew a little bit about me. So I was there and something happened that might be considered a perk. Usually, you know, somebody can back me up here when you're at a club. Sometimes the girls come over and they talk to you and say, would you like a dance? Would you like me to sit on your lap and would you like me to dance? It's a very courteous thing. And at that time, someone came over and said, would you like a dance? Would you like me to be Red? And a girl recognized me as be Red. Long story short, we left the Sapphire and went to, I was at a hotel and I had a room and we ended up talking and we're having a very nice evening.
Talked the whole evening.
I can't tell you what happened, but all I'm saying is at some point there was a call on the phone. And this was before FaceTime, and a man called and he says, where the fuck are you? And she was like, I'm still at the club. Where the fuck are you? She's like, I'm still at the club. And then the third time, and she goes, okay. I'm with Jamie Kennedy. And I was like, what? You're what, Jamie Kennedy? What are you doing?
We're just hanging out.
What? Starts freaking out. Long story short. And then she goes, honey, it's B-Rad. And he's like, B-Rad? That Jamie Kennedy? He's like, yeah, B-Rad. He's like, really? And he's like, put him on the phone. So I was on the speaker phone. This was at the time with the flip phones. And he asked me what happened. I explained to him nothing happened. He may have believed me. He may have not. And then he said, listen, if anybody could have did it, I don't like that it happened, but I love that it was B-Rad. And the hotel was the Monte Carlo. That could either give it away or not.
You know, her boyfriend was like, oh, it's cool. Like, just was over it right after that. And did she stay longer?
We had breakfast. I always like to have a nice breakfast. Don't you like to have a good breakfast? I mean, buffet was open at 6, although I don't fuck with it. Now I definitely don't fuck with it.
Well, Kenny wants you to know that last week the guys at his warehouse were talking about Malibu's Most Wanted, and a group of 20-year-olds just saw it for the first time, and they loved it. No joke. So he just
wow. Timeless. That's all. Thank you, man. I appreciate it.
But he also said Shadow the Hedgehog is a bitch-ass motherfucker, so you know what I'm saying? all right, so well, I have many questions, and at first you said it was FaceTime, then you said flip phone. That don't make no sense.
No, I said there was no FaceTime.
Yeah, but he also said he gets special treatment for being Jamie Kennedy, man. Maybe they had FaceTime on a flip phone for him back then.
That's true. He was B-Red for
God's. He got that shit early.
Yeah.
I mean, if you can fuck somebody else's bitch and get away with it, he can probably
We never said the F. We just said it was a nice night.
Okay. I believe him.
Let me ask you this, Jamie. Was it more than two pumps?
I'm barely more than two pumps now, but I would say I think it was 2.5-3 pumps.
All right, we're going to move it on. Unless anyone has anything they would like to ask, I want to welcome Jason Marino, Jason Borland, and Kenny, who also goes as Northwest Ken. Welcome. Nice to see you, Jasons. And DC, let's go to your second story.
Actually, one thing. I'm so sorry. Sure. It's so funny that Jamie has so many trimmers for only two pumps.
Hey. Yeah, fucking roasted.
Sorry.
All right, DC.
Okay, this one, the story's kind of heavy, but so don't.
Oh, shit.
You don't cry or anything like that, but it's pretty deep. So when I was about, maybe I'd say about 12 years old, my first job I've ever had was selling candy. And this guy named Louis, a Puerto Rican guy named Louis would come around to our neighborhood and pick up a couple of about five or six kids or whatever. And we would go to like upper scale neighborhoods and knock from door to door, you know, selling candy. And I would sell a lot too. Like there were five, look, it was a ripoff though, because it was $5 a box. And we would get, if we sell one box for $5, we would get $1.25 per, that's what we took home. So you sell 10 boxes, you know, 12 years old, 15 bucks. That's a good day at McDonald's, you know? But anyways, so I would sell this candy, drive us around this van, and the van was like one of those, you know, those, I don't want to say pedophile van, but I want to say van, just the white vans with no windows.
That's so pedophile.
Yeah, pedophile van. So you couldn't tell what was going on in the back, whatever, just about five kids, but five or six, you know, mixed kids, black, white, Mexicans, it's all of us in the back there just selling candy. All of a sudden, one day, it was crazy. So we had this water gun in the back of the van, shooting with each other and this and that, whatever, this, whatever.
As one has pedophile
van. Yeah, right, yeah, lollipops, water guns, whatever. But so we get pulled, Louie gets put over by the police. And I don't think the police know what's going on in the back of the van, you know, and he's telling them, hey, I just, you know, I got a bunch of kids. They're just selling candy, you know, just, you know, explaining his case or whatever. And the police was like, hey, well, can we see what's going on in the back? Can we open the van? And I, no lie, probably one of the dumbest things I've did in my life. The cop opens the van and might I add, the water guns didn't look like water guns. They looked like real guns. I, thinking it was a cool joke, hop out of the van with a gun. And I'm like, ah! The cop doesn't freak out. He's like, yo, calm, white cop. He's like, yo, what are you doing, kid? What the hell are you doing? Do you know I could have really thought that was a real gun and I could have really shot you? He was like, you can't play and do shit like that. And I don't think about it, like I think about it now, how dumb it was. But back then to me, it was like some cool shit to impress everyone else who was in the van. And he kind of just was like, he explained to me why I shouldn't do that shit and gave me kind of almost like a little speech. Like if it was a movie, it would have been a great moment for like where the white cop tells the little black kid, hey, you got to take care of yourself. It was one of those things. And then I didn't, it was no beef. And I was like, thank you. I apologize. And went home and told my mom, she's a police officer or ex-cop, went home and told her. And she was like, you got very lucky, son. You got very lucky that this cop, you know, took his time to explain that to you. You could have went left field. And to this day, I'm here, and I thank God I'm here. That's the story.
What a time to bring up a good cop.
DC's really towing the line here. I mean, like, it's like, there's the crux, obviously, that there's just no way a white cop handled it that well.
I mean, I'd like to think there's at least one out there that would do that and hope maybe
one.
DC got that guy.
Wow, your mom would be so mad that your dad took you to the Philippines to get.
That's a great point.
It would be fucked up if that's your story and it's a lie. That would be also fucked up, you know? Right. And technically, aren't all van pedophile vans? You know, technically.
I mean, it's the ones without the windows, though, that are the real.
Yeah, the ones without the windows are the real creep machines.
There's a guy that comes to the Comedy Store, or he did. He would drive up in his van, no windows, and then he had an outside padlock on the van door. Is that not creepy?
That's creepy. Okay. Everyone would escape without the padlock. What do you even?
What?
Oh, everyone would escape. That's trapped in the van. We didn't have the padlock.
I know.
All right. Any questions, Jason Marino? Do you have a question? Any?
I was saying that you would think that his mom, being an ex-cop, would have taught him the lesson ahead of time to not carry around a play gun that looks like a real gun and to brandish it around police officers.
Very, very true. I agree, but you know how you get around your buddies, you want to just show off and shit. I was just a complete little idiot of a kid.
And to be fair,
you didn't know.
You remember back in the 90s, it was a big thing. Like they actually, because there was a lot of water guns that do look like real guns. And they made it where you had to eventually put the red tip on there.
This one was a straight. It looked like a real like pistol.
Huh. You didn't know it was a cop when the door opened and you kind of jumped out. You didn't know it was going to be cops, right?
Oh, I knew it was cops. I knew it was cops out there.
Okay, that's pretty wild then.
Yeah, I knew it was cops. It was. I was just like, why not? Mm-hmm. Anytime it looked tough, why not? You know, completely. Yeah. I mean, I'm very stupid. I think of me to do that.
And you said you were what,
10? I was 12. Yeah, I was 12, slinging that candy.
I think also if you were selling that candy, your mom knew you were selling candy?
Yeah, for the True program. We had a little speech and everything. She knew we were selling candy. It was a True program. We go up, knock door to door, say, hey, I'm just here to try to keep kids off drugs. And
Did it hassle Louie at all?
Yeah, they gave Louie some shit. But Louis was pretty clean. Louis was, you know, great license or whatever. He was pretty clean.
And where was he when you jumped out of the van?
Louis was sitting. I think still, I'm not sure. He could have been outside of the van, but they just asked to look in the back. So I think Louis. I think you had one cop still talking to Louis, and the other cop just making sure there was kids in the van.
These days, can you even have kids just back in a van like that? I remember back when I was a kid, like we would just hop in Miss Truzy's. Station wagon, and it was totally legal. None of us are buckled up. We're just all stuffed in the trunk.
Yeah. You know, someone, I don't even remember who this was, that used to do, it's kind of a hack joke, but about on the Enterprise, no one wears seatbelts. I used to always think that was, right? It's such a hack premise, but it's like.
You imagine, I've heard it.
What about if Jamie was like, that's my joke, bitch!
That's my hack joke.
It's a great hack joke, though, Jamie.
Yeah.
Thank you.
What do you think of this whole story, Jamie?
Yeah.
I mean, it's intense. I mean, geez. what a time to talk about that. I mean, you could be a super mind meld and know that this is like the time to bring up that story is like intense. So this could be either an amazing truth or like a great way to get this lie out and know that it's hard to fucking poke a hole in it right now because, you know.
Yeah.
I don't know. But yeah, I want to believe it's true. But I don't know. It seems like you and your dad had a nice relationship. So I don't know.
However, it does sound like a true story. Maybe it's not
a
story though.
Yeah, but man, I don't know. It's like, it's like it's made me want to think it's true because DC does like this nice sentimental job at kind of he cranks up that, you know, it was, there's some sympathy shit going on, but I'm saying he's a soulful dude. You watch his Instagram and stuff, he can make something sweet, he can make something touching. I'm not just gonna go, since this is a sentimental topic or a sentimental ending, I mean, DC can cook that up, is what I'm saying, in fewer words next time.
And did you tell your mother what you did, DC, when you got home? Did she ever find out?
Yeah, mom, so yeah, she remember she told me, she was like, hey, you got lucky. You got extremely lucky. She was like, you know, you shouldn't do things like that. Because I was completely in the wrong. I was 100% wrong, and I felt 100% wrong. Like, after I did it, I was like, damn, what was I thinking?
How old were you?
12.
Yeah. I mean, that's something a kid would do by mistake. World, yeah. Innocent. You're innocent.
Jason, what are your thoughts?
I smell a true story here. I think this, I'm not sure it's his true story, but it smells like a true story.
I want to say it's a lie because I think his mom would have come back and said and whooped his ass.
Yeah, yeah. But sometimes when you're a mom and something is so fucking serious, whoop the asses before. It's like I always tell my kids, don't worry about if I'm stomping around. You worry about quiet. You worry about when I'm, you know, doing that. And so that I would kind of get. So, all right, let's move on to Jamie's second story.
The homework. So I'm going to make, this was a different time. This was early in my career. I started getting auditions. And one of my first jobs was a show called Unhappily Ever After. And it was by the creators of,
it was the Buddy, right?
Yeah. With Bobcat.
Yeah.
And don't Google. And I got that. And from that, when you get like your first guest spot, you're able to, you know, get more auditions. So I got more auditions, and I got an audition for a pilot, and it was with Henley Winkler, because it was the same casting director, and it was for a show called Monty. And Monty was about a guy, Henley Winkler, and he was a teacher. And the eventual part went to David Schwimmer. And it went like 6 episodes and it went away. Then I was starting to get more auditions, and the casting director brought me in for a new show called Friends. And I went in, and I went in at the audition.
And they said, you are not friend material.
Well, at the time, I didn't have my Duck Dynasty. So I went in, and I auditioned, and I saw David Schwimmer. And I auditioned once, went back again twice, went to network twice, and I got the role of Ross.
You were going to be Ross, a paleontologist?
I got the role of Ross.
Wow.
Then 2 days before, the network came and said, he's just too young. Like, look at the guy. He's a little younger than them, but he seems younger. He seems younger. I was fucking devastated, and I fucking like was like so upset. And my agent's like, you're going to get the next one. And it ended up going to David Schwimmer. Ooh, you really don't know what to think of this.
Those two roles in a row went to Schwimmer.
Yes.
You know what?
Fuck. I'm mad at Schwimmer.
I could see that because I actually went to network for Friends.
Wait, let me tell you the role. Kudrow? Did you go for Kudrow?
Right. And then, so I go to network, and then afterwards, I read that they wanted her from the get-go, and they were just bringing in people to make her look good.
Really? Are you saying do that?
That happens a lot.
Yeah, that happens a lot. And because she had been on Mad About You, so they wanted her from the get-go, but they had to bring other people just to do the exercise of bringing in different people. And so, but to me, it's like, yeah, I wouldn't have done a great job at that. But at the same time, it was like, God, why'd you got to torture me like that? You know how hard that was? It's hard to go into networking. I'm not a good auditioner.
I have an addendum when we discover all this at the end, because you just made me think of it.
All right.
What are your thoughts?
And a paleontologist, because you were so young at the time, so that seemed odd.
No, but we're not really that far apart in age.
Really?
Look it up.
He looks so much older than you.
He's just more mature.
That's true.
You know, I'm like 15. I just happen to have a house.
Jessica, now you're sexier to me.
No, but like me, Lovitz, and Pauly all in the same room. Who's are we maybe 17? I mean, we're all the same age.
Jason Borland says that he saw Tell. Jason, would you like to tell us about that Tell?
Basically, it was an adrenaline rush, and Jamie, like I'm playing a game now, and this is super fun, and that was his Tell. And the first Tell was getting super uncomfortable. Like, I'm almost like watching a four-year-old tell what they know is a lie, but trying to make it look like the truth. And just read as a Tell both times. And when they did the first Tell, he went like this. As he did it. I don't think you're Carol Burnett, but that's definitely a Tell. So
wait, hold on. Is this guy a poker player? Who is this guy?
We don't know. Yeah.
David Tell.
I thought he was a professional Tell guy.
He said he's David Tell.
Professional Tell.
Dude, we lie all the time. We are liars. I'm a liar on the Liar podcast. I lie on stage. I lie in front of cameras. Pro. I lie to my agents, I lie to cops. We all lie. So yep. Who can you tell?
Yeah.
Hard.
Damn, right. I got deep. Come on, Felicia. Poke a hole in me, baby.
Okay. Well, it all does seem plausible, but I think it would be very easy to kind of plug yourself into that situation because maybe someone else told you that story. But I do also see at the... You know, but I get that they might have seen you being younger.
Sorry. Yeah, but it was in 94, and that's when I started to get little auditions and stuff. Yeah,
but when did you actually get facial hair? What was that?
That was about 2 weeks ago.
Hair, right?
I pride myself. I was Johnny Depp for a while, and I mean in the chest. Like, he doesn't have any chest hair. It took about 38, I started growing chest hair.
I almost think that this one's true because I think he was trying to throw us off with the, homework, you know? So I think it was homework to find a...
Well, it is. No, it's like, I got a lot going on. We all have stuff. We all have productive pandemics. And then I talked to you about this before. I was like, homework. Because we do. It is. These are homeworks. Like, we can't just talk. I got a homework. I got to get in my books. I got to look through my journals. I got a lot going on.
Yeah, that makes sense, Jamie.
Right, D?
Well, let's go ahead and go to Michael. Michael, will you please do the recap?
Yeah, we're going to start with DC here. So DC's first story, he's probably 19, and his dad wifed a Filipino at some point. So they would take trips there before the marriage. It's a beautiful country. DC really enjoys the place. It's like real lush and green. It's also very poor. And he and his dad were there, not exactly like chasing prostitutes, but they were kind of chasing prostitutes, you know? So he's in a hotel afterward with one of the toots, and they're like deep talking life, and he gets into like this, why are you doing this? I don't think I can do this. He's having some guilt about going through with the sex and all that, and she talks him into two pumps, and he feels bad and pulls out, pays her, and he leaves. He pays her some of that manila money and shit, and he gets out of there. I guess that's it. Second story, this is his first job. He's 10, he's selling candy, and there's this guy, Puerto Rican guy named Louie, that would take him up into the nice neighborhoods to sell the candy. So he's got a panel van full of kids this one time that are playing Super Soaker and back, and he gets stopped by the police. And when the police come to open the van doors, see what's going on inside, DC, a young DC hops out with a water gun that looks a lot like a real gun, and he's screaming and he's putting in the cop's face and shit, and the cop doesn't freak out. It's a white cop. He's handling it very well. It's a good moment, a learning experience. DC goes home safely, having learned a thing or two, seeing the error in his ways. His mom was a cop, and she's like, yo, why would you do that, and blah, blah, blah. And everything was great after that. Those are DC stories.
Well, I just can't see DC. I don't know why you would say the two pumps story. I mean, maybe someone would edit that out, and then that would be a gif. Yeah, two pumps. Like, I don't know. It just doesn't. I don't think he would share that two story. So I think that's a lie. The first story.
No, I think he's trying to pull out of our heartstrings with the second one, and I think that's a lie. And I think he shalalabbed the prostitute.
You do? All right, Kennedy. What do you think?
Well, I hope the first one's a lie, because you can't admit you were the prostitute. And in 2 years, DC is going to get in trouble or something. Because the internet say something. Well, that got too serious.
Statute of limitations. I just think he's all right.
Yeah. I heard of multiple times of this ritual of, you know, fathers or sons or big brothers sharing it. But I don't know. I don't believe the first one. It was too vague. And I want to believe the second one because of the way he told it. There was some, like, I don't know. I felt like there was intensity there that I might have believed, but he could be reversing the game on me right now.
Yeah. DC, how many toy firearms were in the back of the van? How many other kids had a weapon?
I want to say, I think two.
Did they jump out and kind of get wild with the weapons too, or was it just you looking crazy by yourself?
Oh, it's just me looking like a jackass. It was just me.
See, yeah. DC, how many wives did your dad have? Was that first wife, second wife, third wife?
That's my Lola. We call her Lola. She was the third one. So he tried it like a couple times, and then the third one was the charm. So Lola was the one who actually...
So did he go black, Lola, black, white, Lola, white, I don't know what he meant.
Black, Filipino, Lola.
Okay, so what was Lola?
She's Filipino. We just call her Lola. Lola means grandma.
So black and then Filipino.
Yeah.
And your father still with us?
Yeah, he's still here. And Lola's still here too.
Yeah, then that first one's a lie.
Now, I've told you I used to drive my dad around to cheat on his wives in the trailer parks.
The key phrase there is the term trailer park. Did you also dip everything in Velveeta cheese?
Fuck yeah.
Fuck yeah, dude. I had a lot of Velveeta growing up, man. The more I hang out with Jess, the more I realize I'm kind of white trash myself.
Like, what's wrong with Velveeta? Velveeta's good, right?
Oh, yeah. But it is five of the six food groups in certain parts of Kentucky, wherever Jess is from.
All right, yeah. All right, Michael, you're going to say number one. Jason is saying no to the hoe. Okay. right. So how about Jason Marino? Jason Marino says first is true, second is lie.
I'm with Jason Marino.
Yeah, Northwest Kent says second is a lie. All right. Hey, which story is the lie?
The lie is the first story.
Yeah! I was right.
The second story was 100% true.
What a wonderful police story.
I know. In these times.
It was dope as shit.
That was beautiful. And what a perfect way to tell them. That's amazing.
Where did you grow up again? So where was this?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Bay Area, so Northern California, but I grew up in a little city called Vallejo, 40 minutes from like San Fran, but it happened in a little city called Vacaville, California, by Sacramento. Yeah.
Wow, you're so lucky. You're so lucky. Mm. That was my biggest fear when my boys were little. That's so scary. All right, so let's move on to the recap of Jamie's stories.
All right, and Jamie's first story. This is 03. He's just done Malibu's Most Wanted. They filmed the movie. He's got some promotion to do for the film. And so he goes to Show West, which is like Montreal, but for movies. It's in Vegas. He ends up at a strip club called Sapphires. It's a great joint because it's got AC. It's got good food. DC is sometimes there. And Jamie had basically like he had heat at the time. So he could kind of get special treatment just for being him. Right. So he ends up with a dance from a girl who offered a very generous offer, of course. And he ends up back at the hotel with this girl. And some things may or may not have happened, but she gets a call that's like, where the fuck are you? And she goes, with Jamie Kennedy. And this guy's like, what? And he's pissed off. And she's like, honey, it's B-Rad. And he's like, well, shit, you know, I don't want this to happen to me, but if my girl is going to fuck anyone but me, I guess it's pretty cool, this B-Rad. And then obviously they had breakfast, and then that was over. And in his second story, this is an early career job. He got to audition for Unhappily Ever After with Bobcat. He got it. It led to more. And he got to audition for this pilot, Henry Winkler, called Monty. David Schwimmer got the fucking role instead of Jamie, right? It went 6 episodes and out, no big deal. But then another audition comes around for Friends, and Jamie gets to audition to be lead role of Friends, right? Schwimmer's going to audition again. And I guess Jamie lands Ross role, supposedly. And then 2 days before, Network came and just said, you're just too young. We're going to go with Schwimmer. Fuck David Schwimmer, man. If this story's true, I got crazy present for David Schwimmer on Team Jamie.
This guy's a super producer. I don't remember saying any of that.
Michael's dope.
Thanks,
man. You girls have scored.
Yeah, really have. I have a hard time. The thing is, I want to believe the second story since Felicia brought up that it happened to her. But then the first story, it's like you're so famous and everybody knew you from that movie. It's hard. If you were banging strippers, it's hard to believe that this didn't happen at some point.
Right. Well, here's where I'm going to poke a hole in to Jamie's story. No strip clubs have good food, okay? Number one. And if you should never eat at a strip club is all I'm saying. But I do think the first story is a lie because he said FaceTime and then he said flip phone. And so that doesn't make any sense. I think
I tried to go to Sapphires once when I lived in Vegas and I can't remember what it was, but I had the wrong shoes and they wouldn't let me in. So it's a classy joint.
Well, they don't want combat boots in the strip club, Jessica.
She had her steel toes on.
All right. So what should we do? Michael, what are your thoughts? Unless you already gave them.
Yeah, my thoughts. I mean, for one, it's like I'm trying to imagine I'm trying to imagine a situation where I call my girlfriend, she's out banging somebody that's not me, and I'm able to figure that out on the phone right away. I don't think it would just jump to that. And I'm also going, would I be happier to hear that it's Jamie Kennedy, you know? I guess I got cheated on last year, man. I got cheated on last year, and that guy just owned a food truck. So I guess Jamie Kennedy would have been better than that. But I don't know, dude. I think that second story went down. It'll also be my new favorite fun fact about Jamie that he was supposed to be fucking Ross. So I'm hoping that's true.
Jamie Kennedy, better than a food truck.
Better than a food truck. That's my man.
DC, what are your thoughts?
Well, Jamie's like both of these stories could be true. That's the outright truth. Both of these stories can be true. But Malibu's Most Wanted was a hot ass time. Was a dope ass time for me. Like that was one of my favorite movies. I watch to this day. And I honestly see groupies.
Maybe that's how he's trying to get us. Because he knows.
I don't know. But I just see him having mad groupies during that time. So I'm going to say that first story is true. And I'm going to say it sounded like it could be more true. And that's why he told it that way. But the first story, you don't see Jamie. You know what I mean? Like the first story is true.
Okay.
I think the first story is true. Because B-Rad was like hot as shit.
I sang Chapstick, Traffic, Chapstick, today. I mean, that must have gone pretty hard.
That's Traffic, looking for my Chapstick, yeah.
Yeah, there's a Ford Maverick, dog.
I'm saying the first one is true.
Let's be real. So then the guy says, you stay and fuck him all night and go to breakfast with him. That's what he said in the story.
That's his
nutrition. He's like, make sure you get breakfast.
Yeah. First one is a lie. All right, Jason Marino, what are your thoughts?
And I also think that Jamie is more of a gentleman than he wants us to actually know.
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
I was saying before, I agree with DC on his angle of Jamie's stories. That because of how poppin' he was at that time, it was his heyday, his vanilla ice moment.
Best is yet to come for Jamie Kennedy, I think.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not his heyday, dog. Heyday is tomorrow.
I agree.
All right. So Northwest Ken, known as Kenny, says, second is a lie. Unhappily Ever After came out after Friends.
Did it?
Whoa. Kenny's always got some chronological shit locked in that we didn't even consider.
He's always wrong with that.
We got to consider time more often. Kenny's looking at this correctly.
Will you unblock Kenny, please? All right. What's your rationale, buddy?
I think that Unhappily Ever After came out after Friends. It was like Unhappily Ever After was like 97, maybe. Yeah, 97. No, Friends was 95, 94.
Nah.
Nope, wow, I know.
Ken, you
sure.
Look great.
Thanks. New haircut.
New haircut. Gee, you can not kiss drunk. Right on the mouth, Ken. Good Lord.
I think Ken had a point here because Friends, I remember seeing in New York in like 94 when I first moved there. And I remember seeing it then. Yeah. Yeah. I think Ken might have a point. All right. Anybody else want to speak up? Jason Borland, do you want to give your thoughts before we wrap this baby up?
Sure. He would have been great on Friends as Phoebe's brother, the crazy guy. Especially with the do right now, the beard. I mean, come on, that would be perfect, right? But seriously, I saw a tell, and it's a hoe for show.
Jason's funny.
I know. All right, Jamie Kennedy, which story was the lie?
First of all, there's so much going on here, I have to comment. Somebody wrote, he was hot getting male and female groupies. Thank you, whoever wrote that. Thank you for what's producer's name again?
Michael,
thanks for making my heyday still pop. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, sometimes the light's dim, but we're coming back. Oh, you know what I mean? Thank you for making that heyday. 50's the new 48. Whoever looked at that Unhappily Ever After, that's a cheat code, possibly.
Ken's a rule stickler though.
Yeah,
but I will say this. Let me see. There's a bunch of shit I wrote down. This is how fucking good I am. Look at all that. Look at all that I wrote down. So how much is this for fucking homework? Okay. This is like so much going on. And Jess, it's homework. I want to vegetate. Okay. In fucking lockdown. But homework. Okay. So who says strip clubs have no good food?
I said strip clubs have no good food.
Are you? Okay. So. A, Portland has one of the best menus ever, okay, in Oregon. They have a dope vegan spot. And Tampa, Penthouse, they have a John Beard award winning. The steaks at the Penthouse in Tampa, 4 a.m., the best steak you've had. So totally, Felicia, get out, get to Tampa, get your champagne room on, and get your steak.
All right.
Just something for us to look forward to. Once this podcast hits the big time, we're going to all the great strip club food.
The vegan ones.
All you guys are coming with us.
All the grass-fed women.
And just to answer on Unhappily Ever After, I got that because one of the casting associates saw me actually. Oh, damn. Did I lose everybody?
You're here.
Oh. And it was in the early 90s around that time. And the OR had me down as a please allow, which they still have today. I should have put that in. But the honest truth is number one.
Told you. I knew it. I knew it.
I should have went with my gut.
I knew it.
So,
I have details. Number one, yes. And when you said I'm a gentleman, I am a gentleman. We had a wonderful breakfast. What's weird about that? Okay. And Felicia, you're like, the guy is not going to allow me to go have breakfast. Well, the guy was a fucking bitch. He was a cuck, right? It already happened. Yeah. He wasn't rushing to the hotel.
So right. That's fact.
Yeah, it was done deal. Like, you know the rules. Y'all bitch, Charles, me. You know. She kind of let him know on the phone. She did most of the heavy lifting, but he was actually pretty cool about it. And that is tame compared to what comedians go through on the road, as you guys know. A lot of crazy stuff we see. But the other one is kind of true, but not. I never got to audition for Friends, but they did say I was too young. But I never got that far. But the Monty thing, I did go kind of in and I lost. But who? What was the movie with John Cusack and the record store?
What's that
record store? And what is it?
Empire Records, says Jason.
No, it was the John Cusack one. High Fidelity.
And he says High Fidelity.
So this is exactly what? That is exactly my situation with you. There was a time where I was like second in line to Jack Black. And he had that role, went back two times. They weren't sure. He wasn't sure if he was going to do it. And I was in the wings. I don't know how close I ever got, but I definitely had a lot of meetings on that movie. So that is true what you said.
All right.
Damn. I was going to say, you had a chance, Jamie, to relive some beautiful moments from your past.
From my heyday. Yeah. Now I just got to go. I'm going to go out to the store, get some fucking milk. Non-dairy. I got to go. My heyday.
Awesome. Where can people look for any of your shows that you might have coming up virtually or otherwise now that we're slightly opening up here in Los Angeles, and or maybe you want to direct someone to some of your work, DC?
Oh, yeah. Just DC Urban Comedy across the board for everything. Follow me on Instagram, YouTube, trying to just build that stuff up. And yeah, you look, you'll find me.
Thank you so much for joining us again, DC.
You're welcome.
You're awesome. And Jamie, what about you?
I got my new special, Jamie Kenny, Stupid Smart. It's on Tubi. I call everybody. It's like the Netflix with commercials. It's my brand new special. Other than that, you can find me on the socials. And I'm just here, trying to do my homework for my next Zoom. I got a Zoom tomorrow. Fairfield Comedy Club, if anybody want to watch. I'm doing a 5 p.m. West Coast time. Fairfield Comedy Club. It's the New York Comedy Club, but the Connecticut version of the club.
Hey.
And thank you for our regulars for joining us, Jason Borland, Jason Marino, Kenny. You guys are always awesome and very funny. I love when Jason joins us from his kill room. That's the joke that we have. Thank you, Jason, for playing along. Michael, what do you got shaking and coming up?
Let's see. Follow my Instagram at Michael Evans, LOL. And shout out Louise and Lola and the whole gang. And fuck David Schwimmer still, dog. Keep my name out of your mouth, David Schwimmer, motherfucker.
Okay. He's my buddy. I love him.
I don't love him, dog. I'm out.
It was a lie. It was all a lie.
All right. All right. Well, I'm Felicia Michaels. You can follow me all across the board. Do us a favor and go look at our YouTube and you can find animations there. You'll find when Jamie was on an earlier episode, and know that we for now are doing the Zooms on Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays until the Comedy Store opens, which we think is going to be sometime in July. And come play with us live if you're out there listening to us on Spotify. And if you want, hey, shoot us an email. Tell us what guests that you want us to have on our podcast, and we'll do it for you. And thanks, you guys, for listening. Jessica?
I'm at Jess Wellington, too, on everything. Follow me. I'll be in Arizona at House Comedy on Tuesday. That's it for now. And you have been lied to.
I'm not telling that one.
Disney, believe
you. You're the real liar. Please stand up.
What? She's totally serious.
And you have been lied to.